The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency with me, your host Kevin Turley, coming to you live from London, where G.K. Chesterton was born and where he spent so much of his life. It was great speaking to Dale Alquist just in the last couple of segments. Dale is a very nice man. I've had the pleasure, as I said, meeting him in person, but also he is so knowledgeable about G.K. Chesterton. He really does know everything there is to know about G.K. Chesterton. And Chesterton was a prophet, yes. He was a mystic to some extent. He was a brilliant writer. I mean, even today, people who are not religious at all or don't share his political viewpoints will say that he was one of the great English stylists of the 20th century. And they're absolutely right. He was just a genius at what he did. But for all that, 100 years ago, he became a Catholic. And there was a deep pious streak in Chesterton, and it was a holy streak. And there are some people today who even think Chesterton may have had the makings of being a saint, a canonized saint. And there are people in this country I know who are very active in that. We shall see. We shall see. He's certainly beloved and well worth encountering on the page, but also a man of deep prayer. And that's what we're about to do now. We're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet here on the Turley Frequency. And you can be part of that by calling in on 888-928-0881. And you can have your requests. And remember, any request, it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be. We're happy to pray for it, or it can be something relatively insignificant in the eyes of the world, but it's important to you. And that's why we're praying it. You can also text in on 251-928-2111. And we would be delighted to pray for you as well. Listen, are you going to get a better offer today? I doubt it. So why not try it? Okay. We are your friendly neighborhood prayer team sitting here waiting to go. And all you got to do is pick up the phone and call us or text us. Mike, who have we got to pray with today?
Yes, we have Sherry Jakeson joining us this morning.
Hi, Kevin.
Sherry, it's a great pleasure to have you back.
Yes, it's great to be here.
Yeah, you do a lot behind the scenes, Sherry, and we're really grateful to you, especially in organizing all our wonderful prayer partners. They really have been a credit to Alabama, every one of them.
And I know they've enjoyed coming on the show, too.
Yeah, no, they've been really, really wonderful. And I love the way they all came with lots and lots of intentions and lots of people to pray for. So that was great. So, well, I mean, you know all about the Divine Mercy as well, Sherry. I know that. So we shall get to your intentions in a minute. So just one last call. Anybody out there, feel free to call in, text in. We will pray for you, whatever it is. There's got to be somebody in your family who needs a prayer, somebody who's concerning you. Or if there's anybody listening who's in hospital or about to go into hospital for treatment of any sort, we would love to pray for you today. So, Sherry, who have you brought with you today?
So I have a friend, a good friend, Nisi, who has hurt her back. And I know she's struggling a little bit at this time of year, getting ready for Christmas and things like that. So pray for her that, you know, her back heals and she's able to, you know, go through this holiday season without much pain.
That's a lovely intention, Sherry. So Nisi, would Nisi be listening by any chance?
I don't think she'll be listening this morning, but she might be.
Well, we shall definitely pray for Nisi. Now, Nisi, well, I'll tell you what you can do, Sherry. This program, as you know, goes out as a encore presentation at 10 p.m. Central Time, and you can tell her that we prayed for her. And maybe if she's able to, she can listen later, or she can download the Archangel app and listen to your friendly intentions for her today, which I think is very nice that we pray for a back injury. Back injuries can be a real difficulty, right?
Yes, definitely. They
can really incapacitate, a bit like the shoulder injuries we were talking about yesterday. Back injuries can be long term, right? They can go on and on and on. We have an expression, you know the expression a pain in the neck or a pain in the back, you know, those sorts of things. And they're often, you know, something which is troubling you. And that comes from people knowing just how difficult these sorts of injuries can be, because they can be relatively unseen and low-key, but they can make people's lives pretty miserable. So, Nisi, thanks to Sherry's good offices, we are going to pray for you now. So, Sherry, shall we begin?
Yes.
Hey, Kevin, really quickly, before we begin, we have a caller on line one, somebody I'm very dear and close to.
Oh, wonderful. Hello, caller on line one. Who are you and where are you calling from?
I am calling from Birmingham, Alabama, and I happen to be Mike's mother. And I just appreciate you. You are a blessing. Thank you for coming on the radio and being a blessing for everyone. Everyone enjoys all of your stories and your accent. Your accent. But I want to everyone to pray for the, well, this month, it's just a harried month, you know, the month of December, and everyone gets in a frenzy. And I'm just hoping that everyone will really take the time to think that this season, that Jesus is the reason for the season.
I love it. I love it. Is this Edith I'm speaking to?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Edith, it's such a pleasure to speak to you again. And I know Mike paid you to say all those things, but,
no,
but I'm still
not
grateful to hear them, Edith. I'm still grateful to hear them.
The check is in the mail, Mom. The check is in the mail.
No, he did not. It's very. I'm very sincere when I say that you are a blessing.
I'm joking. Well, you're the blessing to me because you phoned in and we want to pray for you. Now, you're praying for everybody at this time and this season. But Edith, give me something to bite on here. You have something close to your heart at the moment, I know. And I want you to, if you can, to share that with us so we can pray for that in this intention as well.
I have something close to my heart. Yes, my children are close to my husband is close to my heart. God has blessed us abundantly, and I want to praise. I think it's a praise that he has blessed us so much. It's a praise.
Okay. Well, listen, praise God and he will give you more. So listen, we're going to do, I think, Edith, if it's okay, I'm going to codify this prayer in the following way. We are going to pray for all your children, all your grandchildren, and for your dear husband. And we are going to pray for this holy season of Advent, that you may all grow together, be happier together, and have a wonderful Christmas when it comes.
Amen. You couldn't have said it any better. That's perfect. That is perfect. I want us all to be a family, and get along. And we do. But we can't wait until we celebrate all together.
Sounds wonderful. It really does.
Looking forward to it, Mom.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait till everybody comes and hug those grandbabies. I can't wait to hug those grandbabies. They're so precious.
Amen, Edith. That's the spirit. That's the spirit, and it will come. Well, we're going to pray that when it comes, it's even going to be more joyful than you can ask or imagine. So let's pray this decade now, Sherry, for Edith and her family, her extended family, for a wonderful Advent, a wonderful Christmas, and also for poor Nisi and her back injury. And we'll pray for all of that now. Edith, will you do me a favor and call again?
I certainly will. I enjoy talking with you. I really enjoy talking, and I love your accent.
Well, it's the only one I've got, I'm afraid. I love your accent. Your accent sounds so tuneful to me. It all sounds so like people are playing musical instruments when I hear your accents.
Oh,
it's wonderful.
You're so sweet. Well, I'm an angel, didn't you know that?
Well, Mike has spoken to me off air, Edith. We don't need to go into that on air, but he has spoken to me off air.
Okay, well, you're sweet.
But,
yes.
But listen, do spread the word. We are here. We're a service, Edith. We want to serve people in this time of prayer, and we want to serve you and your friends and your community and your parish. So anybody you know who's in difficulty, doesn't do any harm. They can phone in. And don't tell Ellen I said this, but they can even reverse the charges.
Okay.
But Mike, cut that out of the encore presentation, okay? Edith knows, and you know, and I know. Okay, yeah. Listen, Edith, we better start praying. Otherwise, we'll be here. Get cut off. Listen, it's been great speaking to you, and do call again. It's been a pleasure. It really has been a
pleasure. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you.
Okay, Sherry, shall we begin?
Yes, let's.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together, Sherry, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, so this first decade for Nisi and her back problem, and for Edith and her family, her children, her husband, her grandchildren, and a wonderful Advent and Christmas. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Sherry. So that was the first decade, there has been, I don't think there's any more calls, Mike, is there at the moment?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Okay, so there's some lines open out there. If anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome. We don't have any texts either. So, Sherry, you get to go again. Second bite at this cherry.
Okay. For my dear friend Lou in Florida, whose wife passed away about 8 months ago, her name was Debbie. And I know that this holiday season is really a tough one for him to get through without her.
That's really sad, yeah. This is his first Christmas without Debbie.
Yes.
Okay. Will Lou be listening by any chance?
He might be listening on the app because he's in Florida. So
Okay. Well, Lou, if you're listening, you have a very good friend in Sherry, and we are delighted to pray for you at this time coming up to Christmas. It's a time when bereavement feels very difficult for a lot of people. People who are on their own at Christmas, it can be very difficult. And we also pray for Debbie. We pray that her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Mike, is there anybody or anything that you would like to pray for in this third decade?
Yes, I'd like to pray for my cousin CJ. He got engaged on his birthday this year, July 4th, July 4th baby, and the wedding's going to be, I think, in January of 2024. But anyway, just want to pray for them as the couple, you know, as they get ready for their marriage. You know, it's not just about the wedding day, as we all know. It's about the marriage. You know, the wedding is of course just the day. So, I pray for them as they prepare about another year and a half or so.
What's the name of his fiancée, Mike?
Oh God, you would ask me enough.
We'll call her the future Mrs. CJ. How about
CJ Romano.
The future Mrs. CJ Romano, whoever you are, you know who you are, and we're very happy to pray for you. I would pray for CJ. Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful time, engagement, and it's a great commitment to each other. But it's also a time when you can grow spiritually and understanding marriage and, you know, the joys of marriage. Wonderful. And obviously, Mikey has a great witness in you and Jennifer and the children. A wonderful exhortation to the joys of marriage and family.
Amen.
We were speaking earlier about Chesterton. He had lots to say on the family. He was a great, great defender of the family. And the families, the husband and wife and the family are the keystone of any society. They are the building blocks of any society. And we need good marriages, good Christian marriages, and we need good families coming from them. That's how societies develop. It's not going to develop any other way. So it's a very important commitment, covenant even, that CJ and Mrs. CJ are entering into in a future date. So let's pray for them now. All right, Sherry, shall we begin?
Yes, let's.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much. Now, after we finish the Divine Mercies today in story time, I'm going to be telling the story of a wayward boy who became a movie star, Steve McQueen. It's a story, really, which any mothers listening, and we get a lot of mothers who have contacted this show over the last weeks asking for prayers for their children at different stages. Sometimes children are relatively young, teenagers, or they're maybe in their 20s at university, or they're out in the world. And as we've identified, mothers never stop praying for, worrying about their children, especially their sons, I think. And that story is for you, because God's ways are not our ways, and nobody is lost, even to the very last minute sometimes. So that story is coming up after this, and I heartily recommend it to anybody who's worried about somebody who's gone astray. So what I'd like to do, Sherry, if it's okay in this decade, is to pray for all the mothers who are listening and all the children who are on their mind, especially young people who are leaving home or who have left home to go to places of study or have gone off to different parts of the country for work. And I'd like to pray for them. Sherry, I don't know your situation. Do you have any children in that position?
I do. I have my younger son, who's 19. Was just offered a job in Virginia, and he'll be leaving in the next month or so. And I do want to say that he kind of strayed away from the faith a little bit, and I did pray for him a few weeks ago on air with you, and he has since started to come back to church with me. So that is such a huge blessing.
I remember you praying about that young man. I think he was trying to discern whether to leave home and take up the job. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's his name, Sherry?
His name is Luke.
Luke, that was it. Yes, I remember. Because there's a parish, Luke, St. Luke's near me. Luke. Well, let's pray for Luke in particular, but for all the other children and young men and young women that I mentioned. But let's pray for Luke as well as he leaves home, that he will start to really appreciate the family life that he had, and that more particularly the faith which animated that family life. And be of good peace at the moment, Sherry. I've got a feeling that it's a one-way street when it comes to this sort of thing for a lot of young Catholic men and women when they have such mothers as you.
Hey, Kevin, okay. We have a caller on line one again.
Oh, wonderful. Caller on line one. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, Frank from Birmingham.
Hi, Frank. How can we pray for you?
I'd like to just pray for all the people suffering from addiction.
Yep.
Any kind of addiction. It seems to be so prevalent in our world today. I don't know if any family out there who isn't touched by that.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know anybody whose family hasn't been touched by addiction of one sort or another, be it substance or some sort of addiction emotionally or to some bad practice or vice of some sort. So we will pray for that. Frank, without going into any details or prying in any way, is there any one person in particular you'd like to dedicate this decade for?
Well, it's for all the people in a community called Chinakalo, which you have in the Diocese of Birmingham. They have about 70 houses throughout the world, started by a nun in Saluzzo, Italy, Mother Elvira.
Right.
I obviously you're familiar with it. I'd like to pray for all those people who are in community at this time and who have been in community. And as we all know, once you're addicted to something, you are always an addict, and it can rear its head at any time. But they do wonderful work, and if anybody is in need of that, hopereborn.org is the website. Hopereborn.org.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful community.
Absolutely.
Yes, Father.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful idea. Well, look, Frank, if it's okay with you, we've got two decades left. I'm going to say this decade for Luke and for all the young people who are leaving home. And then the last decade, I'm going to take your intention and pray for everybody with addictions, and in particular for the good work of the Chinakalo community and hopereborn.org. Is that okay?
Certainly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank. And do call again.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Okay, Sherry, I think we've got our work cut out with the time we've got left. So let's go this decade for Luke and his adventure that he's starting and for all young people today. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And now we say this final decade for Frank in Birmingham and his intentions for the people suffering from addictions of whatever stripe they may be. We pray for the good work of the Chinooklo community and hope reborn in this diocese. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude three times. Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus,
I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Sherry, can't thank you enough. Do come back.
Of course.
Fantastic. When we come back, we're going to be discussing Steve McQueen and perhaps his greatest escape yet. That's coming up in story time in the next section of the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. We shall be back after these words. Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. My name is Kevin Turley, and it's a great privilege and pleasure to be with you each morning during these hours to have some conversation, to pray together, obviously, but also for this portion of the show, which is story time, because I love telling stories. And there are some great stories out there, but they're not just stories to entertain. They're not just stories to make us feel excited or in awe of something. Hopefully they're stories which can shine a light on the fact that everybody's story is important. And whether you're famous or not, it doesn't really matter. The only reason we recount stories of the people who in the world's eyes are famous is because, well, they're the stories that we know. But I'm sure that if you called in one day, you could tell me equally as interesting a story about your faith journey, about what God has done in your life. I certainly can. And I haven't met anybody yet who doesn't have a story. And at some point in this portion of the show, I would love for you to call in and to talk to me and tell me of the wonders that God has done for you and those in your life. You might be surprised. We all might be surprised. But I tell you what, we're all helping each other in two ways. We're all helping each other to get to heaven. Because as St. Thomas More, the great English saint, said, you can't go to heaven on your own. You can go to hell on your own, but you can't go to heaven on your own. You take people with you. And that's good. We need to take people with us. It's a bit like the ship is sinking and there's a lifeboat and we've got to get as many people on that lifeboat as possible. So be of good cheer. And these stories, they encourage us. They encourage us. So let's begin at the beginning, shall we? Now, Steve McQueen, when I mention that name to you, what do you think of? You think of all those roles that he played where he always seemed to be in motion. He always seemed to be moving at a pace. But my question is, from what was he fleeing? From what was he running? What was it that pursued him? The film's titles that he was starring in give us some clues, as does his pace of life, the rapidity of his mood swings, the speed of his reactions. They were all lived as if he was in a race. One that, as he grew older, got ever more faster, until the inevitable occurred. Time ran out. You see, when it comes to Steve McQueen, what the Hollywood star's biographies sidestep is that ending. In a strange way, it makes sense of all the rest. That final performance was a role much older than any that he had acted upon the silver screen. And for once, just once, it really was a matter of life and death. This is an alternate look at the life and death of Terence Stephen McQueen. There was the broken home, the violence, the neglect, the desertion. The young McQueen shuffled between his native Indiana, Missouri, and eventually California, passing from one home to another. The child knew mostly misery, but nevertheless, he had been given something. You see, somewhere, someone decided that the young Steve McQueen needed to be baptized a Catholic, just as his mother had been before him. In the biographies I've read of the film star, it is mentioned in passing. Understandably, it appears to make little difference to the boy, the adolescent, and later the man. But my contention is that it did matter. Now, in his case, what passed for the childhood soon turned the boy into a troubled youth. And with no home, he ended up on the streets before being sent by a court to one, to a home that is, that was there to reform boys like him. It was called the Boys' Republic and was to be the start of the end of childhood for the young Steve McQueen. It was also the beginning of a mistrust of institutions for him. The image of authority had long since fractured for this child from a broken home. It is worth bearing that in mind before jumping to any ready-made conclusions. You know, for better or for worse, we're all shaped by our first environments. Looking at those early years of the future movie star, what he was dealt in life, if you like, makes me grateful for what I was given. I don't know about you. The young McQueen was a very angry young man. The rage that his background engendered fueled the race that now began as he fled from personal demons he could barely comprehend, let alone free himself from. From one institution to another, he trailed before living the life of a drifter and a vagrant. And an angry young man like McQueen can always find a home in the military, in any military. And so he enlisted with the United States Marine Corps. He was 17 years old. Luckily for McQueen, it was 1947, and he would serve 3 years, therefore too early for the Korean War, and too late, obviously, for World War II. So he never saw combat. Yet, strangely, it was his time in the Marines that is suspected of killing him. That's right. You see, more than 30 years later, he was diagnosed with a disease that was believed to have its origin in his role in the routine removal of asbestos during a military chore. It was as if the clock had begun ticking, curiously, just as his luck was about to change. From 1952 onwards, thanks to the GI Bill, McQueen was to become an actor. If for many years an aspiring actor rather than one who was actually being a paid actor, he was making his way as best he could. Finally, however, 6 years later, things began to shift. And from 1958 to 1968, we have an ascent. The ascent of a star. And at rapid speed, too. As McQueen ascended from bit part player to television star, from supporting actor to lead, from movie star to superstar. By the late 1960s, it's fair to say that Hollywood knelt before McQueen. He had become one of its new kings. By then, this king of cool, as he was styled, had touched the zeitgeist. Or perhaps it touched him, and thereafter bestowed upon him a glittering kingdom of tinsel. But that was only half the story. There was another side, a much darker side to this Hollywood luminary. Not so surprising, given that there was very little light and much darkness in the world. Or should we say, the heart of the world he had thus inhabited. That shining darkness of stardom in Hollywood found a man unable to resist its blandishments and allures. The public ascent to stardom had been rapid and assured. His private descent into a sort of personal hell was equally as sharp. By the mid-1970s, there was a trail of broken marriages, emotional debris, of Charles Manson-inspired death threats and drug busts, of false starts professionally, many, and a reputation in Hollywood that he really didn't need. You see, all this came about just as the movie business was beginning to move on, seemingly no longer needing this increasingly temperamental film star. By then, McQueen was an actor in his early 40s. His looks were beginning to fade alongside any box office appeal, while all the time, younger, hungrier actors jostled for his crown. As the lights began to fade over Hollywood, a king was being sent into exile. Still, it's as if that clock I mentioned continued to tick. Only its tick was louder than before, as time was running out on Steve McQueen. I said at the start of this meditation on the life of McQueen that his film titles give us clues to who he was, but so too does the subject matter that he chose to act in. I don't know about you, but I can't think of another Hollywood star who was more incarcerated or who spent more time on screen in a prison than Steve McQueen. But I can't also think of a movie star who spent so much time seemingly running from something. Whether it was his rise to stardom via television's Wanted, Dead or Alive, or as Virgil Hiltz in The Great Escape, or Henri Charest in Papillon, he was a perpetual prisoner, one forever trying to escape. Even in his seemingly more conventional war movies, for example The War Lover or Hell is for Heroes, he plays characters running from themselves. Or is it running from their past? All done under the cover of wartime. Then there were films such as The Getaway, The Thomas Crown Affair, The Great St. Louis Bank Robbery. He was always on the run. In those cases, he was on the run, literally, from the authorities. When not running, it was all about speed. We have films like Bullet, Le Mans, where he was being pursued and pursuing. The final cinematic outings in 1980 were Tom Horn and The Hunter. That latter film was about hunting down those on the run from the law. The former, however, is more interesting. It was the story of a frontiersman who is finally cornered. But he's not cornered by other bounty hunters or cowboys or gunslingers. He's cornered by modernity and the relentless march of time. And Tom Horn faces death by hanging. As it happened when Tom Horn was being made, having by then physically experienced the first signs of what was coming next, you could say Steve McQueen was equally cornered. Thereafter, McQueen's life was hanging by an increasingly slender thread. And no matter how hard he tried to run in the opposite direction, there was still that something pursuing him. Unexpectedly, as the end came into sight, McQueen raised his gaze. What you're about to hear may sound too good to be true, but stick with me. And stick with me to the end, where maybe it is too good to be true. When I say he raised his gaze, when at the height of his former pomp as a movie star, he was asked what he believed in. And McQueen, in all his arrogance, said, "Me. I believe in me." Now, however, the older and perhaps wiser McQueen, who knew that he was suffering from cancer, learning that that same frail self was in some ways falling apart, there was little room for such beliefs. And it was then that another belief stepped in. Never let it be said that we don't influence each other. Do you remember I said earlier that we all go to heaven together? We go to hell on our own. Well, in McQueen's case, he was lucky. He met a man called Sammy Mason on a film set. And this man was as different as could be from the movie star and the world that that movie star had inhabited. You see, Sammy Mason was a family man. He was good at his profession. And he was liked by his fellow workers, and McQueen liked him and respected him. But Sammy Mason had one other quality which began to intrigue McQueen. Sammy was a Christian. One day, the man who had worn the tarnished crown of movie stardom and who had ruled supreme in the fake empire of Hollywood asked his humble friend what it was that seemed to hold him together. Now, do you remember we talked about the race and the clock ticking? The speed with which McQueen had lived his life, both on screen and off screen? Well, at this point in his life, you could say McQueen's race was drawing to a close. And he knew it. But old habits die hard. In those last days, as the clock began to strike, McQueen raced to Mexico. And he was looking for a miracle cure to the cancer that was killing him. McQueen didn't find one. But by then, if only tentatively, he had found something else. While in Mexico, he asked to see the evangelist Billy Graham. And the movie star told the older man that he was now a Christian too. McQueen said that he believed no longer in himself, but in another. In our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He believed and he prayed. The two men prayed together. Billy Graham was probably as shocked as anybody. But he later said that he was extremely touched by the younger man's obvious sincerity. So much so that Billy Graham handed Steve McQueen his Bible. Four days later, on the 7th of November, 1980, the race was run and Steve McQueen was dead. On his coffin was laid the Bible that had been given to him just days previously. And that Bible was opened at the following verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Steve McQueen, dead 42 years ago this year, this day. May he rest in peace. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never been able to watch a Steve McQueen film again quite in the same light as when I heard that story about his conversion to the faith. You've been listening to me, Kevin Turley, here on the Turley Frequency, which is live and exclusive every day on the Archangel Network. And there's an encore presentation each evening between 10 and midnight Central Time. And you can also listen again if you want to download the app. There you'll be able to find past episodes of the show, and you can share them with anybody that you like as well. Now, one of the quotes that I came across from Steve McQueen in his final days was that he had one regret. Now, this is a man who rather prided himself on saying he had no regrets. But his one regret was that he didn't live long enough so that he could tell others about what Christ had done for him. And, you know, Steve McQueen today even is still held up as an icon, an American icon, the king of cool. And it's important that people are reminded that, yes, he may have been all those things and the archetypal lead actor in those movies with the stunts and the action scenes, but that's not reality. And in the real life, the Steve McQueen needed what we all need to get through our lives, which is that personal encounter with our Lord and Savior. Now, talking of which, tomorrow, as you know, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It's a huge feast day. I believe it's a holy day of obligation in the United States. It isn't here, funny enough, but it is in the States. It's a great day to go to Mass. And we will be having a special Marian-themed program tomorrow for you to enjoy. We'll have a story which is very much related to Our Lady, and you're going to enjoy that. But we also have Michael Hessman joining us, who is a fascinating figure. He's a German, he's hard to sum up. He's an archaeologist, he's a historian, he's a writer, and he is so much more besides. And I have had the privilege of interviewing him for a print publication a few years ago, and I found him absolutely fascinating. And he has written a number of books about the Holy Grail and about other sort of interesting aspects of our faith. But tomorrow we'll be focusing on Mary, and I'm hoping that we will be discussing the various holy houses of Our Lady. As you know, in England, we have a holy house in Walsingham, and we'll talk about a bit about that tomorrow. We also have the Holy House of Loreto. But did you know there's a third Holy House, which is in Ephesus to this day? And of course, there's the Holy House in Nazareth. But all of these houses are different aspects of Our Lady's life and show us different aspects of the mystery of Our Lady in our lives. So Michael Hessman will be on the show tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. And as always, tomorrow we will be doing the Divine Mercy at 9 a.m. Central Time. And maybe tomorrow, in honor of Our Lady, you might want to send us a request, a prayer request, so we can pray the Divine Mercy and ask in particular for the intercession of Our Lady tomorrow for your intentions. So feel free to send those into us or call into the show. And remember, this show is for you. This show only exists because of you. And anybody who calls in is part of the show. This is not a show about me. This is not a show about talking at you. It's a show of having a conversation with you. So I'd be delighted at any point tomorrow if you want to join the conversation at the first portion of the show with me on my own, or if you have any questions for Michael. And don't feel embarrassed. You know, just pick up the phone, 888-928-0881, or text 251-928-2111. Come on, you know me a little bit now, and you know there's nothing to be worried about. I don't bite, and I'm delighted to hear from you. So please do think about calling in tomorrow. On Friday, just to give you the heads up, we have Karen Ulla joining us as a guest, and she's another fascinating writer. And I'm going to be picking her brains about Christmas fairy tales. So if you're interested, maybe you've got a young family, or you're thinking about some reading together as a family at Christmas, what sort of fairy tales would you decide upon? And what sort of books would you consider reading over the Christmas period, or even in the Advent period in the run-up to Christmas? As we heard today from Dale, this is still Advent and not Christmas, and we'll try to keep preparing for the great feast of Christmas. And how do we prepare for that? Well, first of all, we prepare through prayer. And the Divine Mercy is there for you tomorrow, right in the center of the show. So, until tomorrow, I leave you with that. Let's keep praying for each other. And when you hear the music, the outro music today is The Great Escape, the same music we came in with. Let's think about Steve McQueen's, well, perhaps his greatest escape of all, which is getting over the barbed wire and away from the evil one into the clutches, into the warm embrace of our precious Lord. Okay, until tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.